that there was about ready to have a nomination.
No, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. The committee will come to order, the clerk will note those present.
That is with Disease of Kings, is that what they're saying?
Never come.
Disease of Kings, yeah. That's what they call her.
Or Chairman's Labor Committee.
We were about ready to vote.
Establish my therapy.
Okay. You ready for a motion on that signing of that resolution?
Yeah. Hey, we sent it to the board, on the Outer Rules Committee, with a date in it, June 29th at 5:30 PM. Do you know that, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I know it. 3:30.
That's right.
3:30 this afternoon.
3:30, I don't know. Three.
You better get home.
Okay. Whatever, however long you think it is. 1:45.
I think that's what they ate.
You and Glenn are the only two that have to get out of here.
The discussion on the concern I have, as I told you, that's my position on it, and I will defer to the better judgment of the other members of the committee. You know, I might say that I didn't probably, in fairness, state the other side of the argument, and that is the simple fact that if you're going to have an administrator, and that's the reason why they're appointing a director, for someone to get a hold of the administration of the agency, why shouldn't the governor or the appointing authority have the discretion to have who he wants there? And I agree that I do not want to get into the situation where we might, similar to the one we are in today, with this thing and the idea of if it's a strong administrator you want, why not give the executive the power to have that? So, Bill, you can go through your concerns about the director now.
The director, if the director is appointed directly by the governor, I think there's a potential, as there is with any of them. If we leave it to the board to recommend a list of people to the governor, and none of them are acceptable, do we wind up with a Chinese standoff, or what happens? Because the governor cannot threaten the board members with removal, I would think. 656.714, which deals with the removal of board members, just talks about inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office.
I might say that during the recess, I had some of the people from the different interests tell me that even though that I made the statement that the board member could only be removed for cause, that is a half-truth. Because they can be removed only for cause, but the cause is determined by the appointing authority. So in essence, I understand that Governor Hatfield did remove two board members that way. And, I mean, you're entitled to a hearing and everything, but, Bill, let me put it in a better perspective for you. It's sort of like the probationary teacher thing, that it's, you know, a probationary teacher from a may be removed for any cause deemed in good faith sufficient by the board. Even though there's a good cause element, the board determines that, and I think that's what it is with the governor. And if he says that he's removing you for this reason, that's it.
If we're going to have the board involved in the naming of the director, there are only two ways to go about it, I think. One is as this amendment is proposed, and the other is that the board shall appoint with the approval of the board.
The governor.
The governor shall appoint the director with the approval of the board. And I don't know that makes any difference one way or the other, because just as to which way that would be done. And then we go on, if we're going to have the board involved in the naming of the director, shall we have the removal of the director also involve the board? Because it says in line 31, 32, however, the director serves at the pleasure of the governor. And so if the board's going to be involved in the appointment, I think the board should also be involved in the removal.
Okay, Bill. Is that the only thing you want to...
As far as that goes, yeah.
Let me ask the committee, does the committee have any preference for what they want to do? Is there any motions on that issue?
To get it moving on along, I would move the proposed committee amendments dated 6/16/77, identified as 1050, parentheses 1.
Okay. On page 9, you've heard the motion. It says on page 19 of the printed bill, A and Gross Bill, line 29, after governor, insert from among persons recommended by the board. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk call the roll.
Representative Lindquist?
Aye.
Representative Otto?
Aye.
Representative Riebel?
No.
Representative Rogers?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye.
Representative Wilhelms?
No.
Chairperson Kulongoski?
Aye. The amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since this has been adopted, now I would move that, if I can find it again, that line 31, 32 of page 19 of the A and Gross printed bill be changed to include the proper language that the board would be involved in the removal of the director. And so I don't know how that, how ungainly that'll get. But.
Ed?
Well, I don't want to get into a long conversation about this, but I think the point that you made, that the board should be there to check the qualifications of those people and so on in the appointment, is a valid argument, and I think that's why I would like to see the board there as a review process and appointment. But I think if the governor sees reason to take the person out that's there, I think that that should be with the executive. And the other part of that problem I see is that the people on the board are responsible to the governor, and if he really wants to get rid of somebody, he's going to tell that board he wants to get rid of them, and they're not going to be able to stop him anyway, or because he can simply replace the board if it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. So I would vote against having the board in the removal process. So I understand your idea, but that's my point.
Is there any further discussion?
I don't want to give the governor too much reason to veto 1050 as it comes out, too.
Hearing none, the clerk call the roll.
Representative Lindquist?
No. Was there a motion made?
Yes.
Would you...
Let me go back. The motion is, on line 31 and 32, the sentence that says, however, the director serves at the pleasure of the governor. What Representative Rogers has proposed is that sentence be modified to say that removal, that the director serves at the pleasure of the governor and can be removed by the governor, but it is subject to the approval of the board.
Conceptual motion.
So what you would really have to do is, it says, however, the director serves at the pleasure of the governor, subject something to the effect, subject to the approval of the board. That isn't exactly the word, but that's what the idea is.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would agree with Representative Lindquist, because I think we've got a legislative cross-check on the governor's appointments now with approval by, or with confirmation by the Senate. And to have, that's why I voted against the appointment, because I think the governor ought to have clean authority to do it. And I certainly think he should have clean authority to get rid of somebody, because we, as legislators, point our finger at the governor all the time about being head of the executive branch of government, and now we're talking about possibly doing something that's going to take away just a little bit of his authority to run that department, or that branch. I really don't think we ought to be doing that.
Well, yeah, please just don't know against the adoption of the amendment.
That's what I'm going to do, Representative Otto. I'm going to get a few other people with
me. Any further discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Lindquist?
No.
Representative Otto?
No.
Representative Riebel?
No.
Representative Rogers?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
No.
Representative Wilhelm?
No.
Chairperson Kulongoski?
Aye. The motion is lost. Any further motions to A and Gross Senate Bill 1050?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Glenn.
I'm not prepared to make a motion, but we can toss it out for discussion. We talk about the person being in the unclassified service, and I think that we are limiting the number of people then that might be considered for the job. And people that have made a career in the department would be making a sacrifice if they were to have their name submitted for the position. That's my only concern. I just wonder if putting them in the unclassified service, if we're limiting the number of applicants. I know that we're limiting the number of applicants, and I just wonder if that's good.
I might say that Representative Otto is throwing back at me the arguments in his bill for the establishment of a director of apprenticeship and training as to why I didn't think that person should be in the unclassified service. He's just reversed the tables.
Didn't we?
I think there's a difference between, and this is just me, Gary, on it. There's a difference between the director of apprenticeship and training and that position as a labor commissioner than I think that there is under this position called the director of the Workers' Compensation Department.
Haven't we passed out the concern would be that if someone gave up his position in the classified service to go into unclassified and then subsequently removed, he couldn't go back. But didn't we, haven't we passed out a bill or somewhere there's a bill that says that anyone who does this is assured can go back to the classified service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We
did?
Yeah.
Passed from this committee?
No, I think we've passed it. Must have been from the floor. And
Chuck's
really
saying yes.
I don't believe it's in effect now, because there is a piece of legislation that we haven't voted on it. At least it's before us that deals with that subject.
There's a new bill that relates to a lot of prisons and classified that can go in.
176.
Well, if we're attempting to make state employment in some way similar to employment in the private sector, I don't know why it should be a concern. That's one of the risks you take when you go to a higher position. And most well-run businesses are not going to throw somebody out on the street if they've got the ability to go back to their former position and do the job. But there's no reason for a director of a department this big to be in a classified service. But if we've got directors of smaller agencies that are not, I would.
Would you oppose a motion to add a section to this bill that would say that if the director came from the unclassified service and was subsequently, or came from the classified service and at some point either through his own wishes or otherwise wanted to return, he could do so?
Yeah, I'd oppose that, because I think that would happen without it being in the statute, unless he was a turkey or a sheep. And then they might find themselves out on the street.
Did
you put turkeys in?
Yeah. Have you heard of the Peter principle? Someone rising to his level of incompetence?
I've been accused of being an example.
I don't think that's quite
today's true companion.
Well, if Representative Otto wanted to make a motion like that, I'd probably support it.
I don't care to. I was just tossing it out for
a major point. Let's move on.
Okay, before we go on, there are two conflict amendments that the committee has to adopt to 1050. And the first one appears on page 13, on line 30, where it says section 13, or 656.304, as amended by section 4, chapter, as further, no, as amended by section 4, chapter blank, Oregon Laws, 1977, enrolled Senate Angles 396. Representative Lindquist moves for the adoption of that conflict amendment. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, what does it do?
Which one are you talking about? Which page?
And it's conflict of torch bill with another bill?
Yes. And is that the 296? It doesn't come out of this committee. It came out of the Judiciary Committee. Authorized county court and justice court decision to be appealed to the circuit court and maybe further appealed to the Court of Appeals. This is a bill that's setting up the general case that I told you about, that the Court of Appeals is going to have general appellate jurisdiction.
Since I voted against that bill, I guess I'd have to oppose that.
Conflict amendment?
Conflict amendment.
Is there any further discussion of the amendment? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion is adopted. The second conflict amendment appears on page 17, line 33, after section 21, ORS 656.636, as amended by section 1, chapter blank, Oregon Laws 1907, enrolled Senate Bill 1034, is further amended to read. What's 1034? 1034 is on the other side of the bill. Oh, it's the, okay. It's the retroactive reserve fund bill. You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? So adopted. Are there any further amendments to A. Gross Senate Bill 1050?
Well, I have a question. Section 47 on page 34. We've referred to it once already. Both the well, it just refers to it there. I don't guess that's where it actually gives the authority to adopt rules to the director and to the Workman's Compensation Board. But do we need to have both have the authority for rulemaking?
It's further back in.
Yeah, the authorities must be given to them someplace else.
Yeah, yes.
But the question is, do they both need to have rulemaking authority?
No.
Well,
which you're talking about the director.
Look at line 22.
Yes.
Line, page 22, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that speaks
line 16.
Yeah, page 22, right. That switches over to the director, isn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, you got to remember that the board still has the hearings referees, and they've got to have rulemaking power, if only for them. And I don't think the intent of the bill is that the board not have any rulemaking power. I think that as a practical matter, you know, just out of that, I think the board's rulemaking power is going to be in the decisions of the board. That's where you're going to see their rulemaking power.
Well, is this new language contained? I can't recall if it does, but is the rulemaking authority for the director specifically limited to those areas that they have direct responsibility over?
I believe
that language
that is
appears
correct.
To do that.
That is absolutely correct.
What about the language contained in the existing law for the board? Do they have rulemaking authority just in the area of that they have responsibility for?
The evaluation. I think that is correct.
You think that's correct?
I believe that
is correct. Somebody tell me that's correct for sure.
Well, let me ask. Keith?
the board could no longer make rules as it pertains to any other.
To the occupational accident and disease prevention, rehabilitation, and all those other divisions. The director's going to promulgate the rules in that area.
So all we're doing is just splitting the rulemaking authority then?
That's right.
Answering the question.
What is the statute that gives the board the rulemaking authority now?
Okay, I'd like to take the bills in reverse order, and the first one is 1050. Let me ask before Representative Lindquist arrives, is there any further amendments to Senate Bill 1050 proposed by any of the members of the committee?
Wouldn't do any good to run my amendments back out one more time.
Listen, the way I feel today, you go right ahead. Now, if you will look, now tell me this, Jan, did we adopt the emergency clause amendment? What about all the ones changing the word workman's to worker?
All of these are a conflict amendment that come into one amendment. 2, 3, 4, and 5, pages 2, 3, 4, and 5, all of those need to be adopted.
Okay.
And then on page 13 and 14, there's two conflict amendments that need to be adopted.
We already, no, which ones?
These two, right?
Page 13 and 14.
This is big X on 6 doesn't mean anything.
Can I take this?
No. Okay, there are.
Okay, this one. And then this one.
13 and 14. Okay. The committee will look at the conflict amendments on page 2 that would basically put in and declare an emergency, and amendment at 10 and the changing of the word workman to worker. Representative Wilhelms moves the adoption of the conflict amendments on page 2.
I'm going to do it until I can see it.
Oh. I see we have a groundswell of support. It's the very first paragraph on page 2. Adopting the conflict amendments. You ready, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Representative Wilhelms moves the conflict amendments on page 2 of the bill. Is there any further discussion?
213.
No. Two. What is? Look at the first sheet.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, on page 2, 3.
One
yeah. No, I'm going to take 2, 3, 4, and 5. And on page 13 and 14.
What? 17.
Those have already been adopted. 17 have been adopted.
What is the conflict amendment on 13 and 14?
Do you have a 13 and 14?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I said Court of Appeals.
No, 399.
Court of Appeals on 13 and 14. Is that what it is? Okay.
Yes, so you don't have to take out.
No.
No, they said that you might have this.
Yes.
I didn't want to start that. Representative Wilhelms once again moves the conflict amendments on pages 2, 3, 4, 5, 13, and 14. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, John.
Is this, are we supposed to be changing workman or workmen to worker?
Yes,
workers
that's
everywhere?
What
it doesn't do it. I'm just spotting a lot of places in here.
Work hurt.
All right. George, Anita, this is the one that worked on. Why don't you talk?
Well, it only remedies the one that the conflict.
Oh.
Okay. That'll be done by legislative conflict.
Okay. I was just spotting a lot of them.
Yeah. They'll do that. It's the only the conflict, though, that they have to worry about. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection?
I object.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Lincoln?
Aye.
Representative Otto?
Aye.
Representative Feeble?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye. No.
Representative Starr?
Aye.
Representative
Wilson? Aye. Amendments are adopted. Any further amendments? Is there any further discussion of Senate Bill 1050?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Judge. Oh, let me make sure that I got this. Okay, the amendments on the back of the page, look at page 36. Those are the amendments that have been adopted already.
Yeah,
that's it. Yes, George.
I'm going to vote against this bill, and I just would like to tell the committee why. I just make a brief statement.
Don't, George, do this. Is there any motions on the bill?
Okay.
move it on to the board retirement.
Yes, Representative Rogers.
Now, this section 56, is this the language that does what we discussed this morning about...
It's supposed to cut and make cutoff, clean cutoff date on September 1. Is that correct?
And that means the same thing as an appeal filed in circuit court?
Representative Rogers, if you don't talk about the order of the board issues, which contain the appeal has to be filed, nobody will know where to file the appeal.
Okay.
You have to start from that point on. So each order's issued to that day.
I see.
We'll say, if you want to appeal the board's order, you can file an appeal with the court of appeals instead of saying the circuit court, which those orders are present.
You're not getting it?
That's fine.
So
are you getting anything off
I'm
this
getting,
one?
I'm not sure I'm getting it. I don't think I'm getting it. Can you talk a little bit?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 3, 2, 1.
I hear that, but it's not registering.
What's the meter?
I hear it, but I'm not getting anything.
Oh.
Has anything been picked up on the tape at all? Why don't you play it back?
Okay, talk again.
Talk again.
I'm going to call and meet you again.
Okay, but I mean you can
hear.
Okay. I'm in business.
Okay, talk into those mics.
Are you getting anything off of this? Hello, Jan. Do you? Are you getting it now? Okay.
Okay, Bill. Do you have any further questions?
No, if that solves, if that answers that, that, well, that does answer that. So I've got no problem with section 56.
Okay. Representative Wilhelms has moved that Senate A. and Gross Senate Bill 1050 as amended be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Go ahead, Chair.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to oppose this motion. I'm going to vote against this bill, and maybe I can just explain some of my reasons why. I know there's some problems with this administration, this whole act, and I think probably the cause of the problems are maybe the things that ought to be corrected instead of trying to patch up the law and see if we can't make it work a little better. To me, it's kind of like what we're doing here is swatting flies when we ought to be getting at the breeding grounds, and I think these are. In my opinion, I think that a whole lot more effort should be directed by employers toward preventing accidents rather than just try to screw somebody over that gets hurt. And I think that's what's happened. And I think probably before I'd be interested in any major changes in any workman's compensation law could only be done after there is no longer a three-way system. I think this is the worst enemy, and I want this committee to know how I feel about it and everybody in the room, and that's the end of my speech.
Do you propose two-way or one-way?
To the members of the committee. And as long as I'm going to give all an opportunity to state your positions on the record, if that's what you so desire. I would like to state that I'm going to support the bill to be sent to the floor. Now, I know there's been a great deal of publicity about the role that I have played and what I allegedly have played in the development of this particular bill. I want the committee to know that I'm in a damned if I do and damned if I don't position, but I happen to believe very, very strongly that this issue before this committee is probably one of the major, if not one of, not the major issue to come out of this legislative session. And I want the record to show that I've told this committee before many, many times that I think that the number one issue facing the state of Oregon at this particular time is economic diversification. And I think that most of us know that if we've read the Buter report on the supply of the private timber supply in the state of Oregon over the next 25 years, you'll know that it's come to the conclusion that the timber industry can no longer support the economic base, our economic base here in Oregon. I was somewhat surprised to read in a syndicated column from Washington this Sunday the fact that the New York Times and all the Eastern newspapers have taken after Congressman Weaver's proposal on open bids. And it's one of the problems that I think that the Northwest is going to face continually, because the people back east have the opinion that the open bid is nothing more than an attempt to the large timber interests to be able to cut more timber off the federal lands. And I doubt very seriously, as the columnists did, have much faith in that Representative Congressman Weaver's bill would pass, and in fact that it's going to be something out here in the Northwest we're faced with continually. Recognizing the limited supply of private timber, I think that we're going to have our economy diversify. And as I've said before, that Oregon, it is not an issue that I think that can be number one in our portfolio when we're attempting to attract industry, is that we have the highest workman's compensation rates of any state in the nation. My great concern is that the 25-year time schedule, the Buter report, is much closer than that, and it may be in terms of 15 years. And Representative Rogers and I both have a concern for the Oak Ridge situation with the Hines Lumber Company. And most of you know that there's rumors that it's going to close down in that town. If it's 400 jobs are lost, I don't know what anyone's going to do. Now, I think that if we want to approach the problem, the time is now. And George, it's just a disagreement of an opinion with you on how serious this problem is and what we can do. I think that if we want to maintain our environmental standards of this state, that we've got to be in a position to attract those industries that are most ecologically sound with the way of life of Oregonians. And I'm concerned that if we do not do something now and we wait and we procrastinate, that what's going to happen is that those industries in this state that we would not like are going to be invited here, because we have to have jobs for our people. And I think it's an extremely critical issue. Now, as far as what I think that the one major issue, as I told you, the circuit court, I personally have not taken a position one way or another, because I don't think it makes that much difference. I happen to believe that the amendment that the committee adopted this morning is extremely important, because what it does, and I want everyone to recognize this, that one of the major objections to the bill as it came from the Senate is there was no independent judicial review of the administrative agency's order, the workman's comp board. You've adopted an amendment that allows for that judicial review and even goes one step further than the present law even allows, because it allows for the taking of additional testimony in the Court of Appeals, which I consider extremely important. And I do not believe anyone can seriously challenge today that there is not an independent judicial review of an order of the Workman's Comp Board. I think that that amendment, personally, has to remedy many, many of the problems that many people have addressed. Personally, I want everyone to know that even though that stated to the contrary to some people have written me, I've never thought of looking at this issue in any other framework than on the merits of what it would, I think, would be the best for the people of the state of Oregon. And I want you to know, and I think that most of my colleagues admit, that it may be my own misunderstanding of the issue, but I honestly do not believe that there will be one workman injured as for his rights or his ability to collect under the workman's compensation system because of this bill. Rather, I think that the end result is going to be a much more efficiently managed system. And you know, I told a couple of people this morning that Oregon, even with its high rates, is still below the recommendations for benefits proposed by the National Commission. And I honestly believe we'll never be able to reach an increased benefit level to meet the goals of the National Commission unless we save money in the administration of this process. I believe this is the first step toward that. I believe it's good. And if there are those who disagree with me, I apologize to you, but I honestly believe this is the right step, and it's the first step, and I think it would be a more efficient service of delivering services to the injured workmen in this state. Thank you. Any other statements? Hearing none.
Yeah, I got another one.
Oh, go ahead, George.
I think probably all 90 legislators in this building probably agree that we're interested in creating new jobs and preserving employment the way it is, and keep these jobs in this country and keep them from being exported. However, in 35 of 90 stalls in the garage of this basement are parked automobiles made in a foreign country by people that are not members of the United Auto Workers, and I think this is kind of deplorable.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative
Lewis?
No.
Representative
Otto?
Aye.
Representative Riebel?
Aye.
Representative Rogers?
No.
Representative Starr?
No.
Representative Wilhelm?
Aye.
Chairperson Kulongoski? Aye. A. Engross, Senate Bill 1050, as amended, is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let the record show that Representative Lindquist has given notice of a possible minority report.
Carry.
I'll carry 1050. The chair is willing to entertain action on Senate Bill 1048.
I'll move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wilhelm moves A. Engross Senate Bill 1048 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Lindquist?
Aye.
Representative Lawrence?
Aye.
Representative Riebel?
Aye.
Representative Rogers?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye.
Representative Wilhelm?
Aye.
Chairperson Kulongoski?
No. The motion is passed, and A. Engross Senate Bill 1048 as amended is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair will entertain a motion on. Representative Lindquist moves that Senate Bill, A. Engross Senate Bill 1049, be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Lindquist?
Aye.
Representative Otto?
Aye.
Representative Riebel?
No.
Representative Rogers?
Aye.
Representative Starr?
Aye.
Aye.
Chairperson
Kulongoski? Aye. Engross Senate Bill 1049 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Lindquist will carry Engross Senate Bill 1049. Representative Wilhelm will carry Engross Senate Bill 1048. Is there anything else to come before the committee? The committee members will note that I have canceled the meeting tonight because I have to go back to Eugene. And the hearing that was scheduled for tonight will be scheduled for tomorrow.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Bill.
Since I won't be here tomorrow evening, are these going to be on a work session to be voted
yes.
out? Or
yes,
okay.
It's my intent to work okay. on them and try to get rid of a number of the bills.
All right. I'd like to discuss Amendment 302.
Okay. Okay. I would like the committee to pick up all of the letters and have them entered into the record as House Bill 462, Senate Bill 462. it's obvious that there's a great deal of controversy over that bill, and for whatever reason, if the committee, I would like to get a feeling tomorrow night, if you would let me know prior to that time, the tenor of the committee individually, or how you want to do it as to that particular bill, what you want to do with it. Is there any further, anything else to be brought before the chair? Hearing none, adjourned.